We have sung in an earlier hymn of those occasions when sorrows like sea billows rule, and I would like to just speak a little word of comfort for so many that I see in the gatherings these days for whom the sorrows like sea billows are rolling. I'd like to read, please, just three verses from the Psalms. Psalm 107. Psalm 107 and verse number 29. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. He maketh the storm a calm. 20 Psalms later, please, to Psalm 127. The early part of verse number 2 envisages those who try to extend the day of toil, which is often the day of sorrow. And I'm looking at the concluding expression in verse 2. He giveth his beloved sleep. And again, 20 Psalms further on to Psalm 147. And verse number 3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He giveth his beloved sleep. He maketh the storm a calm. He healeth the broken in heart. In conversation with a dear brother over the weekend, I said to him, a question which I ask of many brethren, I said, tell me, what percentage of the Lord's people are not students? What percentage of the saints seem to be looking for something for the heart? It's not that they don't read their Bibles, oh, they do. It's not that they're not spiritual, many of them are most deeply spiritual. But what percentage are not really interested in moods and tenses, infinitives, genitives, datives, accusatives? What percentage of the saints are not really students, who are not interested altogether in the grammatical niceties of Hebrew and Greek, but are simply looking always for something for the heart? I said, would it be 50% or more? He said. I said, 60%? 70? More, I think, he said. 80%? Maybe 90, he said. Maybe more. I don't know what you think, but I know that there are so many who are just looking for something for the heart. Now that is the case, of course, always with many dear saints. But for some in particular, during these days, they really are looking for something for the heart. Our dear brother, Mr. Regan, reminded us on yesterday morning that over this past year, they have lost 6 valued, loved members of the Adam Street Assembly. Not only Adam Street, Glen Gormley, Laganvale, most recently the Lessons, and Enniskillen, further away. And in so many parts this evening, there are hearts that are very sad. The sorrows like sea billows are rolling. And they have rolled over not only homes, but assemblies as well. Individuals and families and assemblies have all been touched over these past months of this year. I want to leave, as I've said, just a little word of comfort for sad hearts this evening. I speak to those of you who feel the loss very keenly, because the loved one who has fallen asleep was your loved one, very close to you, more close to you than to the rest of us, although we love them. And I just want to remind you this evening that in the sovereignty of God, he had decided that the day was long enough. The day was spent as far as he was concerned. And now with their little day done, he giveth his beloved sleep. And the home call of your loved one has been in fact the very act of a kind God. Because your loved one was his beloved. And when your loved one fell on sleep, it was really God giving his beloved sleep. It's nice that we believers can think of death as being sleep. You remember, of course, what the Lord Jesus said when the news came about Lazarus, which, of course, he must have already known in his omniscience. But he said to the disciples, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth." He says, "I go to awake him out of his sleep." They didn't understand, of course, as you know, until eventually he had to say plainly, "Lazarus is dead." But our Lord is graciously, kindly, very sympathetically using the word sleep for the death of Lazarus. And this then, of course, is brought over into the epistles. And there we read of those who sleep through Jesus. And in the epistles we read of those who are asleep. The world wouldn't understand it. They speak of death as death. And of course for each and all of us, death is the last enemy and is an enemy. But nevertheless, the death of the believer is sleep. And so our Lord came to Bethany, to the sleeping Lazarus. He says to Martha, as I say to you tonight, he says, "Thy brother shall rise again." Well, Martha says, "I know that he rise again in the resurrection at the last day." That was all that Martha, with her Jewish mind and her Jewish knowledge, that was all, of course, she knew at the time. A resurrection at the last day. I know that he'll rise again. But the Savior says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me," he goes on to say, "shall never die. Those that are dead will be raised, and those that have never died, well, they never die. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Believest thou this? I hope I'm not being unkind to Martha, but I get the feeling that the Lord was taking her out of her depth, just a wee bit. And that the knowledge that Martha had couldn't rise quite to what he was saying. How could it? Because it might be that after all, not all of my dear brethren will agree with me, but it might be that indeed he is giving us the very earliest intimation of the great truth of the rapture. "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." So we look forward to the rapture and to the fact that some of us will never die. You say, "That doesn't affect me because my loved one has already fallen asleep." Well, it is no accident. He giveth his beloved sleep. And the home call of your friend, your loved one, is in the very purposes of God. And I don't know of any verse that should be a greater comfort to the bereaved than this one. You remember that word where the Lord Jesus in the upper room says, "Father, I will. I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am." And I know what you're thinking. Oh, you say, "But Lord, I would like him to be with me where I am. I would like her to be with me where I am." The Savior says, "I want them to be with me where I am. I ask you, which is better? He giveth his beloved sleep, and your loved one has fallen asleep in Jesus. So we look upon the form, the now lifeless form, of those that we have loved, and some whom we have loved for a long time, and now the form is lifeless and still, and as far as men are concerned, they say, he's dead. Oh no. He giveth his beloved sleep. Their day was run out. It wasn't right to extend it anymore. So he gave them sleep. I often tell of an old sister whom I visited one day. She was quite aged and quite ill and had been bedridden for quite a little while and was very tired. And after just a brief conversation with her, I said, maybe I should pray before I leave you. And I got down on my knees at the bedside. And just as I started to pray, she put her hand on my head. And she said, don't pray like the others, will you? Well, I said, how do the others pray? She said, they keep asking the Lord to raise me up. She said, don't pray like that. She said, could you ask them to take me home? Oh, I said, I don't know if I could ask them that. She said, I want to go home. And then she said, I'm weary. Can't you ask him to take me home? It wasn't long after that until he gave his beloved sleep. God has been kind to your loved one. The day of service, the busy day, over. And now they are asleep. Yes, you say, I know, but my home, my family, my life is in a storm. Ah, yes. But he who giveth his beloved sleep, he also maketh the storm a calm. And he hasn't forgotten that the home call of your loved one has put your family in a storm. There is a storm on the Sea of Galilee every afternoon without fail. Something to do with the hills that surround the lake and the cold winds when the sun sets. The winds blow in through these valleys and they stir up the waters of the Galilee. And there's a storm of some sort every afternoon. Sometimes it's very severe. Sometimes it's not quite so severe. But there is a storm every afternoon. Sometimes it comes suddenly. Is that how it came to you? Some will say, oh, but just a week before that, he was so well. Just a few days before that, we never expected this. Sometimes you can see the storm coming on Galilee. And you look out and you begin to see the little rippling on the water and you say it's coming, and it comes every afternoon. But then sometimes suddenly, with no warning, and the waters are being tossed about. I don't know how it came with you, whether you waited for it, expected it, maybe even made preparation for it. Maybe it came so very suddenly, but now you're in a storm. You remember, of course, what happened in that storm to which our dear brother has already referred on Galilee. The Savior is asleep. He's asleep on, I think it should be the pillow. Probably the only pillow on the boat, the captain's pillow. But he was asleep on the pillow. Asleep. Do you ever wonder why he should be asleep in the middle of the afternoon when these other men were up and about and looking after the ship and afraid in the storm? And why should he be asleep in the middle of the afternoon? I think if you turn a few pages back, you'll find that he has just spent a whole night in prayer to God. But he's a real man. A whole night in prayer. Is it any wonder that he's asleep in the middle of the afternoon now? They come and they waken him. Hymns have been written about, Master, the tempest is raging, the billows are raging high. And then they sing in the chorus, "Carest thou not that we perish?" And they wake, and here's a strange thing that seems to concur so beautifully with the miracles of which our brother has told us. The Savior, humanly speaking, a carpenter from Nazareth. These men, experienced fishermen, who knew the Sea of Galilee, who had seen it in all its moods, who knew exactly the things of which it was capable. They knew, I'm quite sure, that this was not the first storm that these men had seen in the Sea of Galilee. But experienced fishermen as they are, they waken the carpenter. And he stands majestically on the deck of that little ship. And he speaks one word, for which we need three words in our translation. And he probably said with great authority, "Silence." Our translation is beautiful. "Peace. Be still." I see hearts in the meeting this evening. And I've been looking around this evening, and I see hearts that are in a storm. I see homes represented where the storm is raging. It's not always bereavement. So many other things. So many other problems arise. There are many, many sorrows among the saints. And as I look down and see these individuals and homes representatively and assemblies that are in a storm, can I just remind you, he maketh the storm a calm. I hope you may have grace and ability just to rest in what he is doing. Because what he has done is not only for his glory, but for your good. And he knows exactly what he's doing. Sovereignty makes no mistakes. He knows what he is about. He giveth his beloved sleep. And I trust that for you it will be very true, very soon, he maketh the storm a calm. Yes, you say, but I'm still in the storm. And my heart is breaking. Broken hearts, breaking hearts, in every meeting. Brother wept to me 2 days ago about his girl. "Such a promising girl," he said. "The brightest in the family. Gave us so much joy. Now he says she's away." Others mentioned a boy. A promising boy. And tonight, away, the family left with disappointment and with great grief. Hearts are breaking everywhere. There seems to be so much sorrow among the Lord's people. Boys for whom we have prayed for years, who are not saved yet. daughters whom you thought might have been saved long ago. Not yet. Problems of health, of employment, of business. Ah, so many. So many are languishing tonight beneath the sorrows that roll like sea billows. Well, to the broken heart, I leave this word. He healeth the broken heart and bindeth up their wounds. He's not forgotten you. Oh, no. Not only that, but he himself, mind you, the Savior, our blessed Lord himself, knows experimentally what the breaking of the heart is. He says prophetically, "Reproach hath broken my heart." He knows what brokenheartedness is. And he knows exactly how you feel. And he healeth the broken heart. So to every sad and sorrowing heart in the company this evening, just found these three little promises. He giveth his beloved sleep. Fallen asleep, lying at rest, tranquil and deep, safe on his breast, life's journey o'er, heaven's portal past, pilgrim no more, safe home at last. He giveth his beloved sleep. He maketh the storm a calm. He healeth the broken in heart. And sincerely, I say, may the Lord bless you.